All right.
All right. Yeah. You guys want to start the show?
Let's start the show.
Sugar. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Saturday Morning Cereal. Here it is. It's me. I'm Dan Grimshay. And guess who's sitting across from me? It's Marky. Say hey, Marky.
I am here.
And joining us, because you know he is going to, Mr. Johnny Heck, as always. Johnny, what's happening?
Heyo. Good to be back, fellas. I was a bit of a little walkabout. Good to be back. Good to see your faces.
Yeah. Where the hell you been, Johnny?
You know, I'm just, I do what I do, doing Johnny Heck things. It's good to be back in the studio. Thanks for having me. You know, I was going to be here last week, but the door was locked and I was banging. You guys didn't hear me?
Yeah, we changed a lot.
I assumed it was construction noise.
Okay. All right.
And construction screams and weeping.
All right. Well, the weeping, yes, but the rest, all right. It's good to be back, fellas. All right.
All right. Well, look, before we get going, I want to do a little obligatory shout-out to one of our sponsors, Paramount Home Video. I think we've all heard of Paramount.
Yeah.
Made The Godfather, et cetera. So
all the cool openings of Indiana Jones movies.
That's true. They always work that mountain into the very opening shot.
Even literally making a mountain out of a molehill in the last movie, though it was an anthill.
No, actually, for the record, the last movie was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. We're still talking about Paramount Home Media, and though they have not authorized us to give you any free Indiana Jones stuff today, they do have some giveaways that you can get through us from them. Try to follow along. It's a complex procedure.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, you get free stuff. What do you get free? Well, in this case, we've got the, the 25th anniversary, the 30th anniversary of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah.
You remember this.
Are you kidding?
I think we get a little John Candy, we get a little Steve Martin.
And I'm sure we'll talk about it later.
Hilarity ensues, classic 80s movie.
Uh-huh.
We'll touch on that later, likely.
Uh-huh.
And they're also letting us give away the entire series.
It all fits in one box. One nicely, modestly sized box.
Well, and I consider that to be because improvements in technology.
Yeah.
Not decrease in quality.
Nope.
But inside of one slim box, you get the entire season.
Mm-hmm. No, series.
Series.
Yeah.
Pardon me. See, yes.
Yep. You're already fucking this up.
Every episode that's ever been made of Drawn Together. You guys remember that?
That
animated show from Comedy Central.
This thing was capitalizing on a revolution in television.
It's
the most creative thing that came out, in my opinion, of that reality TV, real world, survivor craze crap.
I think you might be getting a little ahead of us right there.
Sure.
But you're right.
This is where Shay and I start duking it out.
I'm just sitting here. I'm the referee.
We're fighting for the soul of this program right now.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a rope. I'm doing the rope-a-dope. I'm just kind of hanging on it. But we have all 38 episodes in this slim, fantastic little box of Drawn Together.
No, all 36 episodes.
And at the end of this damn episode, if we get there, we'll give you a chance to win them from us for free.
Uh-huh.
Marky, I'm glad you brought it up because Drawn Together made me think the other day. This is perfect evidence, almost tangible evidence of our mission statement,
of our belief, of our creed here
on Saturday Morning Cereal.
What is that, Marky? Are you really putting me on the spot?
Do it.
This is Saturday Morning Cereal, the show that celebrates the themes of Saturday morning that we grew up with, but that also grew up with us.
Exactly.
Bang.
And here it becomes more than just a kind of trope. clever little word arrangement that you exercised upon us.
Uh-huh.
I think it's here is some evidence because, okay, we'll set the stage for anybody out there who doesn't remember Drawn Together or hasn't seen it. It was based on like the real world road rules kind of template,
right,
of a bunch of strangers in a house together for reality, yep, TV. And you know how they would famously pick some personality types.
That, it's people you that know, you would see
could create drama that, correct, they could edit together.
Let's find some unstable people that we could put in a house together and film them acting like fucking lunatics.
Also, pour but alcohol it also,
down their throat and exactly, see who has sex.
Right. It did. All of this is true.
Huge in television.
Huge.
But
all of this is true. They also splashed in the generalized stereotypes of society. Your jocks, your Guidos, your pretties. You're homosexual.
Nerds. Like,
you know, they threw nerds. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was all under the guise of reality,
exactly,
TV. So eventually
trope.
Sardonic, sarcastic satire kind of response to that came out as Drawn Together, which was fully animated.
Yeah, fully animated.
And they had the premise was that they had a bunch of different cartoon tropes, like – they get like basically a Superman. They can't use any of the actual names,
right,
because of copyright.
It's pretty much on the nose. You could see it.
They've got one of the. They've got like Link from Zelda, a piece of our childhood. Superman from his own cartoon. Right. They got Betty Boop, a holdover from a long time earlier. They've got. They've even got Adam Carolla plays like the internet early internet meme kind of character. Little
troll, he was the
which
pig.
Is just a gross he was pig, a pig that would just make. That, and then it was like character. A SpongeBob,
yep,
basically.
Like a Ren and Stimpy character.
Just a goofy one.
Yeah. And a princess.
And then the they also had the Disney-type princess. Right. And they had like a 70s mystery-solving.
Yep, Scooby-Doo type.
Scooby-Doo sort of type. Yep. Josie and the Pussycat.
Yep, that's exactly right. Yeah, so they took all these characters.
And then put them into a house together and had
and
like
see what they would do when these crazy people all come together.
But here's the thing. Here's what really proves it is they took all of these characters from basically different stereotypes of Saturday morning cartoons. And when they put them together and made it for our demographic again, because this was, you know, 15, 20 years ago when they first started doing these. I want to say maybe 10, 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Someone right around there. Get an intern to do the research.
Yeah.
Point being, their hook for it, even though it was very cleverly written, in my opinion, their whole shtick was going way over the top of like gross out. You could not show this show to children.
There was one episode that was really. Even I watched it when it came out, like you said, 10, 15 years ago or not, where they had the Superman character was in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And this was when Christopher Reeve was still alive.
Yeah. Yeah, it was direct.
And like, that's fucked up. But
and it was, and they broke that line a lot because that was their goal. But they actually had very clever writing. If you can hang on through the rest of it, it was worth it going through all the gross out gags.
Right. It wasn't.
In fact, I think their little bumper at the end every episode was just their worst, like 2 seconds of that episode. And they just put it on repeat for like 10 seconds. Just like to test you, like, do you think it's going to get funnier?
Yeah.
Do you have the stomach for 10 seconds of, you know, Betty Boop farting?
Yeah.
Into something or other, whatever it would be. That was their entire goal, which just points to the idea that this was essentially a kid's show, but they wrote it for no children
at
all.
It grew up
they
with the
wrote
kids.
It for us. Yes. It is now our show.
Yep.
So when you say Saturday morning cartoons are gone, they're not.
You're right.
They are just the cartoon. They're the Family Guys, the Simpsons, the Bob's Burgers. Some of them are, you know, they're definitely, you know, a difference between gross out gags and being kind of easier family friendly. But it's not for kids. These are full on cartoons. And we don't blink an eye anymore, realizing they're writing it specifically for our demographic.
It evolved.
They grew up with us.
Yeah, it evolved with us.
And you want to know, you're pushing me for more evidence? All right, here you go. I believe before we started recording this, Johnny Heck, you mentioned
on this vein,
Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, well,
there's your missing link. Right. That's when we were teenagers.
Yeah, it was Beavis and Butthead.
That's when they stopped doing Saturday morning cartoons, and then they found one specifically for us, which was just dumb and absolutely played perfectly They were following the demographic instead of catering to children.
They were teenagers in high school. And for a lot of us, you know, at least at this table, teenagers in high school watching Beavis and Butthead, and we were right around that same area. Yeah, so it kind of resonated. And then, you know, the next natural stop after Beavis and Butthead.
Well, and let's not forget Daria, too.
Daria.
The same network at the same time said, hey, you know what, let's have something a little more accessible if you want a story. But it's still that teen angst is behind it. Yep. Which we don't see anymore at all in the shows that are just there to, like, you know, provoke and make you laugh, your Family Guys and so forth.
And this was on MTV when actually Beavis and Butthead and Daria and those shows were actually against actual music videos. By the way, millennials, MTV used to have music videos.
Yeah, you can still see them in old Beavis and Butthead episodes if they ever play those.
That was the best gag when Beavis and Butthead
just sit there and talk shit about the videos. Yeah. Right?
They actually tried to they tried to bring that show back a year or two ago. And I don't know that – I don't think it's on there anymore because they didn't have that video interaction. If I remember correctly, they actually tried to do it again. And what they tried to do is they basically had Beavis and Butthead watching reality TV shows. And so they were kind of commenting on what was going on.
They
were kind of commenting on all that. So it was like the modern day MTV video. This is what was hot. Right. And of course, it kind of misses
the
point.
You
entirely
can't go back to the
because
same well.
Because we had already moved on to Drawn Together, et cetera. And now we've got South Park,
Family Guy. We moved on.
Great example.
It was the next progression of it.
Obviously, if you just saw a still from that in 1996, you would say, oh, this is a kid's cartoon.
Yeah.
No, it can never was.
Right.
And now we've got, and I just made you guys watch this, and you at home, consider this me making you watch it also, Big Mouth on Netflix from Nick Kroll and his cast of cohorts, you know, John Mulaney and Jenny Slate and Jason Mantzoukas, a bunch of those guys.
Great comedians, by the way,
great
on their own right, and voicing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of whom are known and underappreciated.
Did you mention, did you mention Jenny Slate?
Yes, I did.
Well, it's worth mentioning again.
I think someone's smitten by Jenny Slate. Hey, she was dating Captain America, dude. So.
Yeah, well, whatever.
You better stop.
Marky takes that as a challenge.
He stuffs his drawers.
Better stop.
Yeah.
Anyway, this I think represents a new, this is like a retrospective kind of, this is people our age saying, now we're going to make a cartoon that remembers puberty.
Yeah.
Now, for the first time, we're looking back. We're being fucking reflective about our pop culture place. They don't set it back in time. They don't do like a Wonder Years move.
Yeah.
It appears to be here and now, but it's not focused on the kids don't have cell phones. None of that comes into it.
But you know,
but it is, you could not let kids watch this show.
Not at all.
You shouldn't.
But maybe
it looks like it was
might
drawn
be,
by kids.
Absolutely.
It might be a good idea to let adolescent kids, especially boys, watch this. It's this idea that, like, I've been living my life by this credo that, like, there's nothing really special about me. Everything that I've gone through, every other dude has pretty much gone through in almost the same exact way. And the worst feeling when you're a kid is to think that all these boners and all the jacking off you're doing makes you a weirdo and an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing really spoke to you back then that all the socks you're feeling,
right.
All the, like, my mom did my laundry forever. She must have known.
Well, when your socks are coming through and they're just like a fucking flat board. Yeah.
What the fuck is going on?
She just folds it and cracks in half. And by the way, settle down, hippie. I want my kids to think that masturbating is terrible and they're horrible and they're going to hell for all of it. So,
well, see, but that's exactly what we're
Johnny's at least saying it should be an uphill climb for them shame department.
Yeah. No, that's
funny.
They have
to overcome a hurdle of self-hate
and Big
before
Mouth,
they become normal.
Big Mouth does nail a lot of those tropes. I mean, it was fucking funny. It is no place, you know, for kids watching. I mean,
no.
But then again, when we were kids, we were watching. We had this discussion earlier in a little pre-show. We were talking about watching Lethal Weapon and RoboCop and Die Hard when we were 10
years
old.
Yeah.
So,
10
years old. You know, not for nothing. But, yeah, these cartoons are animated shows. I think cartoons is almost like pejorative now. But these animated shows
are
for us.
That's an interesting point, actually. I want to get back to that because I feel like I shouldn't be.
Well,
they're not for me.
I consider like a grown-up animated show would be like Spawn or, you know, like some Lord of the Rings stuff or something. But
okay.
But what we're dealing with
Akira
South
or something
Park,
like that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's where you choose animation as a medium to be a part of it. But the rest of these, they're cartoons.
Sure.
The Simpsons is a cartoon.
Hell, a lot of the Matrix movie was a cartoon.
I would say a lot of the Matrix movie, and especially the animated bits, that's animation.
Yeah. Okay, cartoon, so there's another thing.
Bright colors, lack of shaded details, colorful, just big characters.
Yeah.
And that's what we're getting. Like, F is for Family is like the new Wonder Years. Almost in the same period, maybe
around the 70s.
But,
yeah, I mean, Bill Burr does that show, and again, also on Netflix, and you know, and that's a great avenue for all these shows. But F is for Family is kind of like a retrospective Bill Burr looking at his childhood, and I'm a big fan of his. I mean, I just geek out on him. If you don't know who he is, famous comedian, he's acted in Breaking Bad, a few other things, but some of his bits he's talked about, his dad would tell him, I'll throw you through a fucking wall. And now he plays the dad, and there's a little kid called Billy, and he tells his kids, I'll throw you through a fucking wall. You know, those violent things parents used to say.
Lots of cursing and express. Yeah. There's nudity in that show. But now let's look back 15, 20, 25 years ago when comedians were getting the same deal, essentially. Bobby's Life.
Bobby's World.
Louis Anderson's
Bobby's World. Right,
whose entire stand-up act was about how horrible his dad was.
Right. Yep.
But he still, when he came time for him to make his cartoon, he had to make it family accessible.
Yeah. Right.
He couldn't curse. Yeah. He couldn't go that far.
That's actually a great point.
So now Bill Burr waited, and now that we are all old enough to be like, yeah, put some boobs and some F-bombs in our cartoons, we're ready for that,
but it's
and it
not,
gives it another dimension. Right. It lets it do a little bit more. It does. I wouldn't. Again, this is something you wouldn't show children, which is something you never would have said when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm. But and also
Fritz the Cat, maybe parents
Fritz
would
the
have
cat,
said,
but,
"Oh,
yeah.
You can't watch that."
That's a videotape that like that one friend you had whose parents didn't give a fuck had that videotape. But you know, F is for Family and even Big Mouth. I mean, they're not dropping F-bombs and showing tits or whatever just for the sake of the ability to do it. It's actually entertaining and funny, telling a story. So it's just not gratuitous. They're actually having a fucking point, which is good and relatable shit too. And it's
undeniably grown up, but there's a cartoon for grown-ups.
Certainly.
That's a phenomenon that almost it happened so gradually as we got older, we don't really realize it. So, you know, every now and then, you know, every 5 years we go, holy shit, The Simpsons has been on for 45 years now?
Right, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And a sitting president, George Bush, senior.
Senor Jorge Bush?
I don't know. I'm thinking about getting some Mexican food after I leave. But Senor Bush, I remember one of his platforms was like, I want America. I can't do the impression. I want America to be more like the Waltons and less like the Simpsons. Like, that was a fucking political platform because Bart Simpson said, eat my shorts. And that caused everybody to lose their fucking mind.
Yeah. Quayle versus Bart Simpson was, which helped keep that show on the air probably back in the late 80s, early 90s.
And now you have South Park saying, you know, suck my fucking dick and fuck you and fuck this and up your.
Their actual game is called, what is it?
Fractured Butthole.
The Fractured
Butthole.
The Fractured Butthole.
It's hard to say and not make it sound dirty.
I think that's the intent, but
the Fractured Butthole.
Yeah.
Try it real quick without sounding like you're saying butthole.
Fractured Butthole. What if it was brought to us by our one sponsor?
Pemberton presents Fractured Butthole. Come down to Pemberton, you can learn to fracture a butthole as well.
No, see, you already blew it. You already buried it. Yeah,
I liked it. I think it was good.
Yeah, it's good.
It was good. But yeah, that, you know, it speaks to the point where we've come this far. Again, we have a sitting president battling Bart Simpson. And now it's just the dog is off the leash. It's running down the road, and we have Big Mouth, F is for Family, but drawn together, it was before its time. You know, not to kind of take a step back, but if this show is out
for an animated show on Comedy Central that isn't South Park, you know, in the mid-aughts or whatever,
mm-hmm.
It did pretty well. It was like three seasons.
Three, four
seasons. You really couldn't ask for much more than that out of Comedy Central.
Is it really?
Unless you're the Daily Show.
Is it worth at least touching on what this was trying to comment on? I mean, do you think that there was a larger kind of point of view, right? Because
no.
Because look, America was in the middle of the boom of reality television.
Right. Was this a fuck you to reality TV?
Was this
TV?
A fuck you? Was this is like, this is how ridiculous this is?
I think if you appreciate Drawn Together the way they intend it, then the first time someone in front of you starts to say, well, what is the bigger idea they're presenting? That's right where you would put in a dick joke. You cannot. Right. They're saying, no, this is an animated reality show. Please do not take us as seriously. And this is why we're going to do a whole bit about masturbation for the next 9 minutes on the show.
Well, then that means it's just lazy.
But they love to toe that line. Now, this is just getting into more meta critique of the show itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to do that, but I won't.
Because Vincent D'Onofrio's on the show.
That's right. We are. Yeah.
That's the best segue I've ever heard in my life.
Let's take a little break here. Yes. We'll get our thoughts together. And we are going to we'll talk a little bit. We didn't even touch on Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah, we will. Yep.
And we have an interview from Comic-Con.
Yeah. Your boy, Johnny Heck, was on the road
at
Comic-Con.
Is that third person or fourth person? What voice are you in right now?
I'm telling you. I'm on fifth person. I'm in a different realm.
He's speaking into a mirror as he does this, everyone at home.
I get a little, retrospective.
He has a mirror behind him and a mirror in front of him, and he's talking to himself face forward to the guy behind him. Hey, That's how crazy this is.
It's the mirror dome, everybody.
I'm telling you. Hey, I order Hooters food to go, man. You can't paint me with one brush.
The best joke ever. Let's go to commercial.
All right, let's take a little break. We'll come back, and you'll have that interview with Vincent D'Onofrio and what, Meatloaf?
Bonus.
I just love cookie Christmas cereal.
Taking to disaster?
Not me, I'm not a roll. It tastes like real chocolate chip cookies.
And it's a crispy part of this complete breakfast. No cookie.
I know, another life up.
Do you like cookies?
You love cookie crisp?
Cookie crisp. This bar isn't normal.
And now you can get one ball free in Cookie Crisp cereal. Select them in five dazzling colors. These high bounce balls
are wild.
High bounce balls? Did I get that right?
I think so.
Man, I miss it when cereal could give a kid diabetes. That was like the golden age.
Do they not have those anymore?
I was going to ask you guys.
They do.
I was down. I just bought some sugary cereals the other day, and I walked down the aisle. My favorite cereal in the world, Fruity Pebbles. I got it.
You've been eating some Fruity Pebbles?
I did the double bag box. It was $7. I was just like, oh, my God. I got Fruity Pebbles for at least 1, 2, maybe 3 days.
What color is that milk turn?
It's a rainbow of colors. It's so fucking awesome.
But you mix them together.
The night before I eat any Fruity Pebbles, I meticulously separate all the colors. It's a different charge.
It's like a beautiful mind just sitting there with the tweezers pulling them all out of each area. Don't want the reds and the blues.
I want yellow today, mother.
One of those Buddhist chalk powder sculptures.
He picks them out with chopsticks for a real, challenge.
Yeah, man. And I did not notice Cookie Crisp. And but when I heard this commercial just now, I was reminded of an incident, probably the only time that my mom said no to a cereal choice.
Really?
And it was, yes, it was when I wanted Cookie Crisp.
I think they messed up on the name, but go on.
And so I had this argument, this conversation, this negotiation.
Little Marky just,
I want my Cookie Crisp. Mama, can I have my Cookie Crisp?
And she was just like, no, I'm not giving you cookies for breakfast.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Fruity Pebbles starts with the word fruit.
Fruity.
Yeah. It's stuff like tricks. Yeah. That's nondescript. Yeah. But when you just, it seems like the executives at that point were like,
Let's fuck just, it.
Yeah, like it started as a bad joke memo or something. Well, let's just have little tiny cookies. Okay, Tom, what do you want to call them?
Vitamin packed.
Cookie Crisp?
Vitamin fortified.
Yeah, yeah, and then yeah. someone's at... Yeah, screw it. Let's try it.
It's his last day. They're just smoking a cigarette. He's like, fuck him. Just call it Cookie Crisp. Yeah. You know, and well, I'll post this. I'll post this on the website. But there was a story a couple of years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and it cracked me up. A woman actually sued the makers of Captain Crunch. It was the fruit berries or Crunch berries, right? Uh-huh. Because they actually contain no berries. And actually brought a fucking lawsuit because there was no berries.
That's right on the fence, though, for me. She kind of has a point.
Well, I mean, it's either one of two things. Either it's just like some kind of troll just suing somebody.
Totally.
Or a fucking moron, allegedly. I don't want to get us sued. But it was like, there's no...
Yes, there's no berries in
these crunch berries?
Yeah. I mean, now, if you're talking about someone who thought there would be like a dried up fucking cranberry or something in the middle of each one of these, okay, I'm with you. That's just not mentally on the same bus as the rest of us. But if it was someone, I'd like to think there's something more than a troll. Someone who's like, all right, someone's got to draw a line in the sand. If you start calling them berries and selling them to kids... They will grow up to be adults who think berries include fucking cereal puffs.
But there's crunch berries. And also, it's a cartoon on the box, and his eyebrows are on his hat. I mean, nothing makes sense about it.
Well, you know,
very least, they could put some goddamn berries in the recipe. It wouldn't need much.
The way that they're
berry powder mixed into whatever industrial sludge they make it out of. That's not asking a whole lot.
Captain Crunch, now with real berry powder.
Well, I guarantee you those peanut butter ones probably had real peanut butter in them.
I have some news. Trix.
Are they not just for kids anymore?
Can rabbits finally eat them? Is the embargo over?
They've allowed them.
Breaking news.
Trix has famously, a couple years ago, went to all natural colors.
I remember hearing about that.
Okay, did you try it?
No, I hadn't tried it for years before, and I
still haven't.
Too late
now, because they're going back.
They're going back. I did hear about that,
too. What were the unnatural colors that they were using?
Probably bright yellow.
Yeah, no, it was, it was those, you know, those red dye number fives, blues number twos or whatever. I don't have all the details in front of me, but so they're going back to the original
uranium, yellow, and
whatever. Right. Yeah, that sounds like pee. But okay.
That's
uranium yellow. That's my favorite crayon.
I'm glad it doesn't make you think of radioactivity. It shows
yellow.
You have a safer, kind of less developed mind.
Mama, I was eating the Trix, and my pee is it's burning a hole in the toilet.
There's this the whole play on words with cereal and with naming it. There's this joke in a office. It was Ryan, who's always he was always trying to be like this big businessman and stuff. And he was like canning his mom's pesto.
Okay.
Right. You guys remember this episode?
Yeah.
And then on it.
Oh,
it
you're
says,
talking about the show.
Yeah.
The I thought you were just doing worst joke setup I'd ever heard.
No, the show, The Office, the
I'm
American version.
All right.
Ryan. Yeah. Who played by
Ryan has
Novak.
Jars of pesto. Who
he was selling these jars of pesto, and then
saying they were from his mother's recipe.
And then on it, apparently, it said kosher. Mm-hmm. And then whoever was buying the jar of pesto said, "Oh, this is kosher." He's like, "Oh, yeah, you know, it's kosher. You know, it's cool." You know, so he wasn't technically right. saying that it was like a rabbi. Made it so.
Yeah.
It's just he was saying it on
the. That's kosher, bro.
It was about the vernacular.
Yeah, that's kosher,
and so
bro.
When you're buying Fruity Pebbles, there's.
It's fruity, bro.
There's there's this agreement as to what fruity might mean.
Might, yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. not that there's fruit in it.
And thank you all for joining us for another segment of Marquee awkwardly and painfully drags us through a bad office analogy to prove a pretty good point, though. You're right. But at least Fruity Pebbles had the good sense to say fruity instead of candy Crispies.
Well, I didn't sue him because I thought I was eating Pebbles.
Another fair point.
But Vincent D'Onofrio is here. Yes. And Meatloaf.
In spirit?
Well, in spirit. On the show. We should talk about that for a second.
About Ghost Wars in spirit? Get where I was going.
Oh, I get it.
Yep. Yeah, it took a second. Yep. All right.
It's
Grim is nodding.
It's landing as well as it can because we do have, you're right, if you've held on through all this, you have nowhere else to go. So you're probably about to hear an interview that our own Johnny Heck here got at Comic-Con.
Yes. 2017. This is just fresh.
Just weeks ago.
Yeah.
About Ghost Wars.
Yeah.
The new show on Sci-Fi. You can go start catching it online.
It's on now.
Probably.
On now. Yep.
Also through your television. You can see it.
If you want to be old-fashioned about it.
Your boys on the show here, we watched it together as a group. It's Meatloaf, Vincent D'Onofrio, a couple other familiar faces, Sci-Fi. Interesting show by the creator of a show I really like called Continuum. I don't know if you get a chance to watch it.
Yeah, that's one of those Simon Barry, cult classics.
Love the show. The creator is awesome. Simon Barry did Continuum. Love that show. I'm a huge fan. Trying to muscle these fools into watching it.
We have more about Ghost Hunters.
Ghost
later.
Wars.
Ghost Wars later.
It's been like
we have more
a
about
week.
D'Onofrio later. We have more about Meatloaf later. But I must say, as producer of this fine program,
we have
some obligations.
Executive authority happening right now.
And also I'm happy to kinda draw these themes together. I'm bending over backwards trying to create this. To tie all this stuff together.
Yeah, I hear what he's going for.
And
Johnny,
this is painful.
Johnny, listeners, can you tell?
This is painful.
He's trying
painful,
to do here.
He's doing the heavy lifting
show. But I am excited to talk about this next thing.
Yes.
Before we get to D'Onofrio and Meatloaf, because I'm excited about that too.
Stay tuned, but, true believers. It's coming up soon.
But Johnny Heck.
What is one of those classic 80 stories?
Please tell us what we are talking about next, because this is a big deal, everybody. And man, does time go fast.
It does.
Yes.
Can you believe 30 years after its theatrical debut, a comedy classic is finally coming home? What is it? Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Blu-ray and DVD is out now.
It's out now.
Yeah. You remember the late, great John Candy?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The still great Steve Martin? Two people that were drawn together, complete opposite.
There we go. There's the pun I was waiting for.
We keep leaning into it. I'm sure Grim is loving this. But, written, directed by John Hughes, another great talent that's gone.
Yeah.
Definitely defining for our generation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is one of those movies that this was one of those exceptional contemporary pieces where we could watch this with our parents and they had something to kind of relate to.
Joke was that those aren't pillows.
Homophobia.
Was the only part that might, if you were a kid like us, squirm a little bit in front of your parents. And otherwise, boom.
Yeah.
You can be like, mom, dad, where was his hand? What was he talking
You're
about?
You're not really. No, that was a very clean joke. Everybody knew what he was talking about.
Yeah.
There was no questions, and everybody kind of laughed at it. But it was this story of these two.
Steve Martin's ass.
right up Main Street.
Just to make sure if you've forgotten.
But these two people
are. He was giving them right up the kind of the balls, like the taint area, like that. I don't know. Just kind of.
It must have gotten a little ways in, but that close. I think it would have been a little more.
Not one of you guys.
To what happened.
Not one of you guys. Spoiler alerted! That you got the pillow part. I mean, that was a big joke. You guys just ruined it for
I think. For
oh, they put it in the trailer.
Yeah, they did.
We're off the hook if the worst thing for this, and I think it might actually have been rated R. just was for it? That part.
I'm going to look right now.
I don't know. I'm trying to remember.
Well, this was also late 80s, so they didn't, I feel like they didn't rate this. They didn't rate this R back at the time. It was probably like PG.
Nope, it's rated R. It says right here. Wow. A big old R on the car. Oh, the reason why I even know that is because I'm right now holding a Blu-ray disc. This is Blu-ray, DVD, digital HD.
Oh, but Mark, is that yours? Do you own that?
Well, I'm going to probably take the digital
code.
Will
you give it to me?
After I open this and take the digital code, I am going to give.
That's something you say often. There, by the way, everybody, that's another little inside.
So what I'm giving away, what we are giving away, is the Blu-ray DVD of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and it actually has a sticker on the front that says celebrating the 30th anniversary. That will make me 40 years old.
Ew.
Wow, I cannot believe that this movie is that old. And I'm going to ask you guys. I want to ask both of you guys after I tell my story. I want to ask both of you guys where, if you guys remember where you saw this movie, or how you watched this movie.
Before you get too deep, also remember in-depth interviews with the late great John Hughes, interviews with the cast and crew, a lot of people that aren't with us anymore. So this Blu-ray has a lot of good features on it.
John Candy and John Hughes are both not with us. So
some interviews on this Blu-ray. So
it's going to make some pretty exclusive interviews.
Right, yeah, Marky, go ahead.
So I remember how I watched this movie, not necessarily when I watched this movie for the first time. My aunt, you know, my dad's sister, it was very good about giving my dad and us gifts, and we were not so good at giving them gifts. But so she would always give us gifts that we can all enjoy together. And I remember she gave us VHS tapes of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And Roger Rabbit was another one. Mm-hmm. But I remember her giving this to us because she thought that we could all enjoy this as a family. And we all watched this movie. And it was absolutely one of those rare times where, you know, I did not grow up in the house where we all ate our TV dinners around the TV. That wasn't us.
You all went to your rooms to eat together.
We were hardly all there together.
Mark would go outside and just kind of.
You had the big TV in the kitchen then.
We ate around the TV, but it wasn't like that. It wasn't like.
You just didn't have trays because you're animals.
Yes, we would eat off the floor. there was something like, I don't think that we all watched the programs together. Like TV was on together, but it's not like my mom was paying attention to what we were watching and we weren't paying attention to what she was watching.
Right. It's 8 o'clock. Like, we're watching Family Ties together. Living room right now.
But this was one of those really rare instances, you know, that I could pinpoint in my memory. This was one of those rare movies that we all did watch together and we all did laugh together and all related to together.
Right.
John Hughes is exceptional about relating to you. And this movie really nailed it, you know?
It did. Yeah. And I remember watching it. I saw this with a parent in the theater and again, at, you know, young age, watching this, but I want to see because I love Steve Martin. I love John Candy. So I want to see them, and it's funny. So, but also, you know, tug at your heartstrings at the end, which John Hughes did very masterfully in a lot of his films. Yeah. But I've also watched this film at different stages of my life, you know. So watching it as a kid was one thing. So all the funny shit, those aren't pillows, and just when they're driving the car and you look around and John Candy is the fucking devil, you know, that's hilarious. Yeah. But at the end, you know, spoiler alert, go watch it, come back, fuck you. You know, you find out, you know, he's a widower, he's homeless, he's, you know, he's like maybe suicidal, anything. So you watch this as an adult now in your 20s, 30s, or whatever, and you're watching this, you're like, fuck. So it takes a different level. So this is one of the movies you could watch as a kid, you could watch as an adult, and it hits different notes as you get older. So it's timeless in a way.
They were, if I remember, I have not seen this movie in 25 years. If this
really?
Is 30 years old.
Watch this whole, it's all during Thanksgiving.
I don't think I've seen it in a long time.
You're a monster.
What I do remember is that you had one of the characters was this really, really, really happy, you know, fun-loving, joyful guy who was always welcoming and open. And then you had this other guy who was just kind of a sourpuss and always just kind of very selfish. But he was the one that had the big house and the awesome wife and the amazing kids. he was the one that should have been happy and welcoming and joyful.
Right.
But he wasn't. It was the other guy.
Yeah, because he was so stressed about getting home. He was just up his own ass about getting home.
Up his own ass,
my family.
Yeah.
My parents are getting their in-laws. I got to get home. And you got Del Griffith, you know. He sold fucking shower curtain rings.
Shower curtain
you know?
Rings.
Yeah. Yep. And he was just like, whatever, because he didn't have a home. So he was kind of probably trying to stall it or just get the most out of it with this guy. But
he was just trying to connect, just like all of
right.
us. Just like all of
yeah.
us.
Yeah, so again, yes. different levels. You
and
didn't
that was,
when
and he has that iconic little speech at the end. Where he has to stick up for himself for the first time when, right. when you learn all the stuff about him. And
well, it's kind of before that. When are you talking about when they're in the hotel? And he's like, you won't shut up. You're just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like, I like me. My wife likes
oh,
me.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. yeah. That yeah. whole speech yeah. is just, it connects on so many levels
yep.
there. And then if that speech weren't in there, there's a good chance we wouldn't be talking about this.
It wouldn't,
there
be, a
wouldn't
John
be a
Hughes
Blu-ray movie. Out there with right. a fucking 30th anniversary sticker on it.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, and for the record, when I first saw it, it was like on Showtime or HBO at a motel when the summer after it came out as the whole family was driving cross country.
So the pillows part really rang true.
yeah. Yeah. I slept on the floor that night because I didn't understand about proper taint placement.
I did like afterward, you know, those aren't pillows. They get up like, oh, how about the game last night? Oh, yeah. They did well. They just kind of machoed out really quick. But, you know, and again, not to dive in, we could do a whole episode on this, but, you know.
We haven't?
Kind of toward the end, though, when their car's old as shit and they're kind of like friends now. And they're having the booze and they're, you know, there's like a fire going and they're just kind of drinking and shit and talking. And Steve Martin's character says to John Candy's character, you know, at least we have our wives. And you go back and look at it knowing now what happens. And you kind of see John Candy's eyes go a little glassy. He goes, at least we have our wives, even though he knows his wife is gone and all that shit. Yeah. But again, these layers of this fucking movie. And it's a comedy. It's goofy. Yeah. It's an 80s shit. But, man, I just think it's one of the most complete.
Was John Candy
from start
best,
to finish? Yeah.
I mean the John Candy Holy Trilogy as Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Right.
Uncle Buck, and then Who's Harry Crumb?
Right. And
it's funny how
Uncle
that's,
Buck is although, John Hughes too, right? If I'm not mistaken,
I do believe so. Who's Harry Crumb is
so
not,
is,
and that movie
but
is
also,
pretty
but,
much
but,
terrible.
Bananas, but so but is. I like it. 16 Candles, so is Home Alone.
Yeah, Weird
so
Science.
Is, yeah. You know, so like yeah. this guy dips his toes into a lot of sub-genres, but they're all about the same thing. They're all about kind of...
Heart.
They have heart is
you know,
very
it's about
thick.
Heart. I actually just the other day caught his turn in National Lampoon's Vacation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where he's the one security guard.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The park is closed. He's like, oh, that's a baby gun. That won't even penetrate the sky. I think so.
But, you know, he ends up, like, opening up with them, and by the, you know, he's the one pleading for you know, Wally, what's his name, not to press charges. Right. He's just a big, giant heart thing. But I went on your roller coaster three times, and I throw up every single time that I go up in it.
Yeah, he was, I remember when he passed, it was just like one of the worst days.
Yeah,
he was
I
my
agree.
Favorite. Splash. I mean, remember he dropped the change and looked up the skirts. But anyway.
Yeah, he great was movie. Really a creep in it. I recommend no one who remembers Splash like favorably. Don't go back and watch it again.
See,
John Candy and all his Playboy stuff. And
he would drop change to go look up skirts.
Yes.
Is that not...
That is like sewer level Harvey Weinstein behavior. You can't have that anymore. No. That would get cut in a heartbeat from a movie.
Well,
the more we go back and watch our classics, the more culture now tells us they're kind of terrible every now and then.
I don't know. I mean,
it's true.
We could go down.
Listen,
path.
I don't want to go too far down this tangent.
Saying, we've had
but everyone out there,
however,
that
I
love
I don't want to say anything controversial, but Bogart used to slap a couple bitches every once in a while.
But Planes, Trains, and Automobiles
on camera in movies, even
right. I know. in front of like
the whole
don't let me do that again to you, honey.
That's okay. Hey, Humphrey, we didn't hear the slap off that last one. Can you put on
really give it to her there, Humphrey?
Can you put on a few more rings so we can get it in the back?
Speaking of big menacing Hollywood types, Vincent D'Onofrio was at Comic-Con.
Yes, menacing
boy. Has
he ever been menacing in a? Well, okay, the Daredevil.
Yeah,
you're right. I am sorry.
He kind of nails
Kingpin. By the way, recently announced he's coming back.
I heard that on Twitter today.
Fucking Daredevil.
Actually, where did I hear that from? What Twitter account was it, Marky?
Stay classy, SDCC.
Plug. Hashtag plug.
Yeah, man, we're excited about Vincent D'Onofrio. We're excited that we can bring you this audio. I think we should talk about this just for a second because, look, he's in a new Vincent D'Onofrio is in everything.
He's in a bunch of stuff.
Yes,
he's working.
He's amazing in everything that he's ever been in. Famously so.
Yes.
The first VHS tape that I can remember seeing, Full Metal Jacket.
Right.
I went to my neighbor's house. His mom worked at a rental store.
My very first VHS tape. It's exact same scenario, exact same movie. But as a warning, everybody make sure you check how it's spelled because mine was spelled JACK-IT. Much different experience. I'm scarred for life.
Was it robots fucking?
I wish I could just use normal words to express it. Point being, I saw the Stanley Kubrick.
Yes, I saw the Stanley. I was a kid. It came out. I mean, I was probably 8 years old. Can we get the general age range?
This is what I like doing on the show lately. Twitter. Can you tell us how old Marquis probably was based on what you know? Let us know.
Do we have to do some wiki reading?
Stay classy.
I believe that I must have been around 8, maybe 9 years old.
I didn't see it in the theater, but yeah. I saw it VHS.
This was VHS. Because my neighbor, his mom.
Again, you always have that one neighbor.
Yeah.
You always have that one neighbor.
She had a VCR, and then she worked at a rental store, and she would bring movies home over the weekend. And I remember Full Metal Jacket being, if not the first, of the first times that I ever saw a VHS. I remember because I was really into Vietnam movies back then.
It gave you like... Like
there was
the
a good
built-in
guy, bad guy.
Good guy, yeah, bad guy. Yep. We were growing up.
Yep.
It wasn't about beating them Krauts. It was the Ruskies, the Reds.
And Grimm actually told me before the show he had a friend. His name was Charlie. Kicked the shit out of him. He was a white kid. Kicked the shit out of him because he was
Charlie,
named Charlie.
Yeah.
It was really brutal.
Now,
you can't be too careful.
The reason why I bring this up, not to get too off the fucking rail here, but in a time where I was watching a lot of Vietnam movies where the Vietnam soldiers were heroes, then Full Metal Jacket, I watched that, right? This is after I've already been indoctrinated with the heroes of the Vietnam War.
And now you get
and
this
now
complex
I get this,
picture
And I'm a kid,
mm-hmm.
and Vincent D'Onofrio plays what turns out to be, and especially now that I think about it, one of the most tragic and horrifying figures in any movie that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He plays Gomer Pyle. He's ridiculed. He's given that name.
Private Pyle.
Yeah.
Is this your donut?
Yeah. And let's not even... Yeah. We're,
yeah
we should, we can't
Start
even talk about
right.
Gunnery Sergeant on that because he's an iconic figure. That character.
Arlie Ermey.
I mean, fucking, you know, the fucking chants and shit, you know, like.
But D'Onofrio was fucking scary.
Scary. And
like
now,
that shot of him in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
I think that they used on some of the posters. Had no makeup. It was not highly stylized or anything, but that became one of those iconic scary pictures
where you thought it was
a horror movie.
It's so amazing.
Just by the look on his face.
How many times have you watched that movie and then stopped it after they leave kind of training camp, you know, before the
Before he goes to Vietnam. The whole first half of the movie, which is kind of the most harrowing of it, the most soul painful to watch all occurs on American soil.
Yeah.
The war itself is not figured into the narrative at all.
It all comes down to this. It's all personified in the D'Onofrio character. He's sitting and he says it. He goes, I am in a world of shit.
Yeah.
You know, and he's talking about the American culture at the time. He's talking about the Vietnam War at the, you know, he's talking about all this stuff. It means it's so heavy. As a kid, I don't really get it, you know, obviously. Yeah. You know, it's one of the most, it left such an imprint in my head. Vincent D'Onofrio is very important to me, culturally speaking, as realized in the Pyle character.
Right.
It's amazing what he did in that.
Yeah,
he can never fuck up in my mind.
Yeah, and we could even go on and talk about a lot more of his roles, but that is just culturally appropriate right there.
Yeah.
He was someone playing someone in a different time that spoke to those of us who weren't even alive then.
Yep. And we could talk about Full Metal Jacket. It's one of the most quoted.
Sure.
I feel like we've actually covered a lot.
We could do this again and again and again. Mm-hmm. But we see Vincent D'Onofrio popping up, and
also,
I want to
make sure we've got time to get Men in Black in.
Yeah, I was about to get to that. I was about
his other tour de force.
I don't even know.
Again, a master of subtle acting.
When he barely noticed him. He's like a fly on the wall. But you know,
did you realize that Vincent D'Onofrio actually, now, we know that he's in Daredevil and he plays Kingpin, and please, let's talk about that here in a second.
Here we go.
But did you know that he is, that's not the only Marvel character that he has played in a movie?
Did you know
that Vincent D'Onofrio played Thor? And if you do know that, will you, Grimshay, give me the movie that he played Thor in?
Well, that was, if my sources are correct, I believe that's Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah,
We have a winner.
He was like this, like beefcake.
Oh, it's just so like hunky yoked, dude, right?
Yeah.
And the little kid was like, "Are you Thor?" And he's like, "I don't know what you mean." And they like helped him with the car and shit. Yeah. He's super yoked. Like you don't realize
he's got this long blonde hair. Right. You know?
Totally. It was that movie again. These different looks. He's kind of chubby in Full Metal Jacket. Go back to Daredevil. He's super yoked.
I wouldn't say super yoked, but he's powerful. He's a silverback of a man.
Yes,
that's a good analogy.
That's perfect.
And with Daredevil, especially in the comic books, Kingpin is super kind of fat, but just powerful.
He's just muscle.
So yeah. You didn't get this big fat dude, but he's just super big. And again, your boy Johnny Heck was at the round table for Ghost Wars and saw Vincent D'Onofrio walk up. And you ever been in an eclipse and you just the lights kind of turned? I'm not a short guy, I'm over 6 feet tall. He walks over, I'm sitting down, and it's just like, holy shit, that's Vincent D'Onofrio.
All right, hold on. I think right now we need to kind of back this up just a second. So for those of you guys that need to catch up a second here, we were San Diego Comic Con 2017.
Just a couple months ago.
We always have a lot of assignments, Comic Con's gracious enough to give us a couple of press passes, and we really try to live it up to the fullest. We capture as much as we possibly can. I was busy.
Marky is the A team. Johnny Heck is the B team.
Johnny Heck had this assignment. So he's at San Diego Comic Con. I say, hey, there's this show called Ghost Wars, and you will. And guess what?
Every time.
Guess what? Fucking Meatloaf is there. And he's like, oh my God, I love Meatloaf. I'll do anything for Meatloaf.
But I won't do that.
and not only is Meatloaf there, but Vincent fucking D'Onofrio's there. And he's like, oh, what? And then I'm like, oh, yeah. And
I'm like, hey, my pants just didn't get tighter for no reason.
And so he took this assignment gracefully. What we want to do is we want to set up just real, real briefly why he was there. Ghost Wars is on Sci-Fi, and
if the plot line were more optimistic, they'd be ghost hunting. Unfortunately, it has devolved into Ghost Wars.
Ghost Wars,
and they had a press event
Yes.
Which at Comic-Con, well, if you're us, you know all about. But since you're not, let's tell you real quick. When you do roundtable interviews at a big event like this, they bring in as many journalists as they can. And then they bring in as much cast as they can.
Yep.
And they get as many interviews done as fast as possible.
In a roundtable format.
The way they do that is setting up a bunch of tables where you pack it with, say, like 4 to 7 journalists. Yep. And then you put 2 or 3 people who are to be
cast members, writers,
at that same
stars.
One. And then like speed dating. You hit the clock. 5 minutes. Yeah. It's done.
The producer comes by.
The producers, the stars or whatever get up, move to the next table. They rotate while the journalists sit there. You're stuck there, Johnny. Well, I shouldn't say stuck. I guess you're drawn together.
I'm drawn in.
With these other semi-professional, apparently the emphasis was on semi.
Did you get there by plane, train, or automobile? I just want to know.
I took an Uber with you, I think, to be honest.
No, I drove. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, that's right. All right. So car?
Either way, you don't have to.
Automobile.
All right.
Yeah, it was interesting. There was a couple cool cats there at our table from some known media outlets, you know, I don't want to throw them out there, but there was a couple of cats there. You know, it was interesting. There were bloggers, you know, they got their media passes, and I'm not going to shit on them for that. But a couple of these cats were in full cosplay. And not
what?
And not
but
necessarily.
They're a Comic-Con.
They're supposed to be press.
All right, but not
I know,
even
toes
traditional.
That fine line between professional or
and not. There were like hybrid cosplay too. It was like a Predator, Deadpool, and this other guy, and they didn't even and like one
did
guy
they have the weird mouth.
Yeah, and then one guy had like his mask on and a videotape, and everyone that sat down, he's like, "All right, what's your name and what do you do?" And when D'Onofrio and Meatloaf sit down, everyone is just looking at each other like, "What the fuck?" Okay. You know, dude, I'm not, you know, Tom Brokaw. I'm not, you know, I'm sorry. I'm really, you know, a big journalist.
I need to get to the rest of the story.
But, and then there's this other cat, like, handing out his comic book that he drew and wrote to D'Onofrio. He hands it to D'Onofrio, and D'Onofrio is cool. He looked at it, and he goes to hand it back. He goes, "No, that's for you." And D'Onofrio is like, just lays it on the table. and then afterward, he gets up to go. He's like, "Oh, don't forget this." And he was already gone.
D'Onofrio, he tried to give it back again.
Yeah, it was just like, it was like nails on a fucking chalkboard at one point. But,
well, now in all fairness, maybe in like 9 months, we read a story in Variety where Vincent D'Onofrio is producing this startup comic into a Netflix series.
Yeah, maybe.
That actually reminds me of an episode of The Office. Can I get into this?
No, sake, no, you cannot. Fine. As a matter of fact, Magic Interview Machine, why don't you take us back to Comic-Con 2017?
Meanwhile,
I'd ask you who are you, what you do, but it's obvious who you are. Mojo.
What's your name?
Mojo.
Mojo?
And here, for you, my friend.
Your mother named Mojo?
Yep.
Well, not exactly. Not exactly.
For you, keep it.
Thanks for stopping by.
Here, of course. Is this your guy's magic?
This is ours, and then...
Me and him.
Okay, now we've got to the weird table.
Yeah!
This is the fun table, normal. Please take a seat.
Yes. Take a moment.
Vincent says it's the normal table.
Yeah.
I'll go with Vincent. Because I trust him as a performer more than I trust myself.
Well, his name is Robert Coulson.
This is true, and people never come up to me on the street and go, "Oh, I really like you in Fight Club." They will pass me by and go, "His name is Robert Paulson. His name is Robert Paulson." And then they would turn around and pass me back saying the same thing without ever talking to me.
Well, how does it feel to be the skeptic on the show?
What?
How is it being the skeptic of the show? As opposed to being one of the believers that believes it could be science or could be paranormal, how does it feel being the one that doesn't believe?
Oh, no, I don't not believe. They can just go fuck themselves.
All right.
I'm just not afraid of it.
Okay.
Everybody, you know, like in the church, we did a scene in the church where a ghost came through the wall. And everybody in the church ducked beneath the benches and screamed and yelled. And Doug just stood there and went, "Come on, dude, let's go." You want to fuck with me? Let's go. Try.
So and not a hard headspace to get into then, really.
Yeah, that's Doug's attitude. That's Doug's attitude towards everyone.
Very cool.
Vincent, I have a question for you, brother. So, you were awesome back forever ago. That was like early life for you. And it seems that you've had a Rico because you have a...
Vincent, let me just tell you, Vincent has never stopped being awesome.
No,
no, he's
never.
Still no. No, no, you're awesomer, is what he said.
Right?
Like, he went from, like, awesome to awesomer.
That's a good way to get out of it.
Yeah, you're awesome, brother.
You're awesomer.
Your question?
Awesome. Right.
So,
I don't know what to say to
that. What do I have to look for?
And I will double down on that. He's right, he's right.
I mean, like, what do we have to look forward to in both... My question is both for this show, what do we have to look forward to in your character in this show, I mean, in Ghost Wars, and also in
Daredevil.
Daredevil, yeah. Sorry, I'm hungover.
I knew.
But at least he's honest.
That wasn't a question, right?
Yeah. So Daredevil, I can't. We're talking about.
No, I'm just saying how awesome he's going to be.
Daredevil's always awesome.
Oh, that's all I need to ask.
Yeah.
And he's going to
awesome.
Be really good.
Ghost Wars is a show that's about a small town of regular people who have been through a lot in their lives because they live in a small town in Alaska, and it's tough out there, and they don't have a lot of money, these people, and they're living through rough weather, and God keeps laying things on them constantly, just like most people's lives that they have to deal with. Are you listening at all?
Yeah, yeah.
And then suddenly this event happens in their town, and it's heavy. It's a really heavy event, and the show examines not only the horror aspect of what goes on, which is a lot of really kind of creepy, scary, gross, I could say, stuff, but the social aspect of it too. What it does to the people. And I play a priest named Father Dan who gets put through a lot. And it's quite exhausting before Father Dan.
Yeah, I would have never expected when to see on the... I guess I was the first one hired, I just found out. To see Vincent in this cast. And then as I started to read the scripts, I went, oh, I know why he took it. I knew exactly why he took it. Because no, Vincent's like me. He likes a challenge.
I was going to ask, what brought two huge names to this show on Sci-Fi? What was it about the script or the team? What was it that you read in the script that said, okay, this is my next gig?
He is fascinated with ghost stuff because he's a strong believer in paranormal. But I don't want. He'll have his own answer. But I was attracted to it for the. I like. I've done a lot of sci-fi stuff. I like the genre of sci-fi and horror as well. And with The Cell,
which is an amazing movie.
Chained, and I've done some pretty creepy stuff in my career.
Well, hell, Trauma, man, come on, represent.
But this is different. This is. I was attracted to this one because of the way the people are portrayed. And for me, there's an emotional aspect to the story that carries through every episode. He has an incredible relationship with his daughter. We're not allowed to talk much about it, but it's this very intense thing that they shot the other day, and people were just like, fuck, meat is awesome. And I have...
Well, I'm going to brag just to hear, but everybody in the set was crying.
I'm sure they were, yeah. I'm sure they were. And I've done a couple of scenes with him. He's just, tremendous. He's just fantastic. And so these kinds of things, the fact that we have a ghost story to tell, but it's also a social comment on how it affects people in their life and what it does to them. The good people get even better, and the bad people get even worse, and then some people fall in between and surprise you on either side. So it's a lot of crazy shit.
But it really,
and it's constant crazy shit.
But it really is, for both of us, a challenging role. I mean, I know that he wouldn't have taken if he didn't find it challenging.
Yeah, but you were the first one cast. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just because I was a fan of Simon Barry, and when I read the script, I said, this is the best character I'll ever play.
Up to date. On that, and say that the writer had said that when he knew you were cast, that the character became about 90% more angry.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because, listen, I've never turned down a fight in my life.
No?
No. And I've never lost.
I believe it.
Sorry, guys.
That's okay. Thank you, guys.
Go for your magazines.
You're welcome. Of course, you're welcome. It's a pleasure to meet all of you. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you.
Go for your magazine.
See you, monster guy.
Go for your magazine.
I'm slow getting up because I've had two back surgeries in 9 months.
Yeah. Pull out the lighters.
Marky's face is priceless. He's voicing it.
Feel right now. No, no way. No way. And I would do anything for love. Oh, I would do anything for love.
Everybody.
Anything for love.
But
I won't do that.
But will you do that?
But
Meatloaf, why not? All right, engineers, let's pot that down.
From, what was it, Back to Hell or Bat Out of Hell?
I think Bat Out of Hell was one of the originals.
Bat Out of Hell, Back into Hell. I think this album.
There's no way for us to know, so let's just wonder.
It will forever be a mystery. What album that came from? But I'll tell you this right now. It was Meatloaf, the artist, who you got to hear there. Man, he's had a long and crazy journey.
Such a cool
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, amazing.
Fight Club. The guy has popped up here and again
record.
In some big things.
Yeah. He doesn't stop, you know.
No. Certainly not when he's singing.
No.
He'll go for 8-12 minutes at a time.
Can you guys remember what the backdrop of that video was? I'm thinking like Phantom of the Opera. Was it Phantom of the Opera East?
Something like that. He had like scarves and shit around.
And he actually did have the half mask. It was Phantom of the Opera.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I forget the name of the model that was in the video, but believe me, it was a big model name
the
back
80s.
Then.
Yeah. Yep.
A lot of model turnover.
It might have been 90s,
it's not on me.
But yeah, this was
in the early 90s.
By far, that's his biggest like mainstream hit, although he's got an illustrious career.
I would say Paradise by the Dashboard. I mean, he had like two big waves.
Yeah. Well,
like
right.
20 years apart.
Yep. But that one, as far as our generation goes, in the MTV generation, remember, we started this program talking about how MTV was.
Beavis and Butthead,
and how it kind of kicked off this whole revolution.
And that video was fucking awesome.
And that video was fucking Meatloaf.
It was like, it was like 37 minutes long.
Yeah.
MTV went, okay, we're going to take a break. You guys can go.
Like,
come back.
Do you guys remember when like Paula Abdul, Kim Basinger were in these videos?
I will never forget Paula Abdul.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you know, like when Keanu Reeves is in the Paula Abdul video. You know,
Was he the cat that?
No,
it's the Rush video,
the one
where they redo
Rebel Without a Cause.
Yeah, right. See, all of these videos even were taking from something else.
Right.
Just shows you the cyclical nature of entertainment.
Yes.
When videos were big, they were taking from other sources. Now they're gone. We don't have to talk about videos anymore.
No,
and
I
will say
Meatloaf might be coming on to his third big wave with this new show, Ghost Wars, on Sci-Fi.
Yeah, that's
and
coming
you
out.
Know, seeing Meatloaf at this table, you know, not the tallest guy, not the biggest guy, commanded the table. Yeah. Even at this point of his career, seeing him, you know, just sitting there, Robert Paulson, you know, someone said it from across the room, Robert Paulson, he goes, fuck yeah!
You know,
he did seem to not really, he cared less about what was going on than anyone else there.
Yeah.
Which just provides a nice, you know, kind of screen-free answers, yeah. Which is great.
Zero fucks given. It was his world. We're just living in it. And it was so cool. And just to kind of see him, you kind of get the feeling like when you sit down, maybe sometimes you talk to these actors, actresses, where they have some kind of pretense or these bullet points they have to say and get in. None of it. Off script, whatever. He was cool. Dude, so good at
you know, and to begin with,
his career, he decided to be professionally known as Meatloaf and has committed to that for over 40 years.
Yeah.
And that says something also, about the way he, you know, the level of seriousness he takes.
It also says
himself,
something.
And
it,
yet he has landed in iconic roles.
It also says something about how we perceive, like, rock legends. Rock voices, you know, rock personalities. Because yes, this man is named Meatloaf. You know, he's not very heavy anymore. I think he's actually kind of thin. If you guys have watched, Robot Wars on Sci-Fi.
He's looking good.
I think it's
Robot Hunters, actually.
Robot Hunters. But yeah, he's actually quite thin on this one. But yes, his name is Meatloaf, and he's got a big head, and he's been heavy set most of his life. But I actually and I like Meatloaf a lot, but he's taken on this kind of like this other kind of place in my mind, and I'm kind of jealous of him.
This oddity kind of thing.
Yeah, because my wife, who I won in life. I have a hot, amazing, gorgeous wife, and she, you know, she's European, and so
you hear that, nerds?
Yeah, I did it. I did it, everybody. I'm on top
hot
of the world.
European and, blonde wife.
And
Mrs. Markey is quite the looker.
She is, she is quite amazing. And so,
but I'll tell you what's weird is she doesn't kiss as well as Markey's mom.
Oh, that's right. You got me, son of a bitch.
Hey!
Well, when your mom dies, I hope to insult her that way. All right.
Oh.
Now,
that was an inside pitch there. He's throwing some heat.
So the reason why I'm jealous is because apparently fucking Meatloaf is my wife's first fucking crush.
Really?
Like when she was a little girl?
When she was 12, 13.
Was he hit in Europe?
Yes. Meatloaf was huge in Europe. Huge in Europe. And she said that she just loved the voice. She loves his voice.
How do you say Meatloaf in Polish?
I don't know how to say Meatloaf.
Well, what does she say to you while you're in bed together?
Meatloaf?
That's probably Polish for Meatloaf.
She might call me Meatloaf. I don't know what she said.
No, she says I won't do that.
She does a lot of that. She doesn't say anything about Meatloaf.
And No.
I won't do that. So, yes, I am jealous of Meatloaf's apparent sexuality because my wife crushes on him. And so when I've told her about this upcoming interview, and then I told her that I wouldn't be making it, she actually had a list of questions that she wanted me to ask. Most of them was his phone number. And so I was just like,
I got the assignment. That's why I got the assignment.
I did not want to go.
You saved a marriage,
right? You know,
I think it's funny, you know, because it shows you the power of the voice of how, you know, if you're behind a bar, you're 10% better looking. If you're behind a microphone or a guitar, you're 60-70% better looking. You know what I mean?
I think like the guitar does.
Guitar, maybe 90%.
59 to 69% of that work, because we're all behind microphones and listeners.
We're ugly as hell.
You don't want a piece of any of this.
Speak for yourselves.
But there's,
I mean,
there's something about.
I
like,
was, John.
There's something about Meatloaf, obviously. This guy's voice is epic. You know, it's top tier, top notch.
And he has some kind of presence where literally, I've seen his older videos as well, which are essentially just, you know, concert performances filmed, set to the original recording of the song. And this guy is sweating and jumping and running, and he is two Jack Blacks wearing the same ruffled pirate shirt. And then he's got like a 115-pound, female singer for all of his duets. And he just, what he's doing up there is Belushi-esque.
Yeah.
It's Chris Farley-esque. Yep. It just defies.
It drops panties.
What you think.
It drops panties.
They say John Candy.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you can look this up.
Oh, no.
They say John Candy was notorious for sleeping with like all of his female co-stars.
No way.
He was apparently, and.
He was a poon hound?
Not even like in a Weinstein way.
No way.
No, I keep getting topical about that. But
there's
no
way. Yeah.
It was like they all would come out and say, yeah, I'll be honest, I slept with John Candy. He was great.
He's laying
all these gorgeous women were like, yeah, how could you not love him?
Wow.
He's just so cool and funny and whatever.
Unbelievable.
He just laid the candy down.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to distract everyone. We were talking about Marquis's wife, right?
I just think it's amazing how all these topics apparently are all drawn together.
Look at that. For those of you listening, pull out your scorecards and once again give Marquis a point.
Yes.
We brought all these, we have all these loose ends. Let's tie them all up. The point is, fuck Meatloaf and his sexy ass, all right? Because I don't appreciate it. I need to own all my wife's mind. And
Insecurity by the dashboard light. Before we go, we still have some giveaways here.
Yeah,
we promised
here
at the outset. Now we've talked so much about Drawn Together. I feel...
Yeah, I think we should give this away.
We need to give someone a chance to watch every single episode from this underappreciated and overachieving series.
And now we have a very special segment of Grimshay copy reading.
Grimshay reads a copy. Television's first animated reality show. And believe me, even in the copy, it's in quotes. This is a loose concept to this day.
Say reality show with quotes?
Yes.
Okay.
Animated reality show.
Everyone at the table is doing hand air quotes right now.
Yes.
just to break the wall.
So please, all of you at home, do it. And I'll start from the beginning to television's first animated reality show.
Okay.
Throws together eight cartoon archetypes, including a party-hardy superhero, a naive princess prone to singing, and a sexually ambiguous anime hero, and a house where cameras are on them all the time. As with most other reality shows, conflict ensues.
Uh-huh.
Available for the first time in one set, all three uncensored seasons of the irreverent parody series.
There's three of them?
Plus the 2010 feature film, the Drawn Together movie, The Movie.
There was a movie?
Will be, I made you watch that with me 7 years
you
ago.
You did?
You ungrateful. I said, this is a...
I like the show. I didn't think it was a movie.
We watched it one night after Comic-Con.
Okay. I'm sure I liked it. I liked the show. I'm sorry.
No, you made fun of me. You told me we would go dance in the restaurant together, and then you dropped me when I jumped in the air.
They fight for less after a show. So.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what it sounds like when doves cry. Anyway, all of these and more will be available in Drawn Together, the complete collection, which we here on the show at Saturday Morning Serial are offering to you, you serialites. And it's available starting October 10th, 2017.
That's now.
The 7-DVD set includes loads of bonuses, features, deleted scenes, audio commentary, karaoke, sing-alongs, interviews, and more. I'm guessing they have shrunk it down to just about 3 or 4 Blu-ray discs, and that's what we are offering you. And how are they going to get that, Marquis?
Well, I think right now I want you all to send us an email. So Saturday Morning Serial at MattyPRadio.com. Let's give them something to say. So
Saturday Morning Serial
at MattyPRadio.com.
What's that one more time, Johnny?
Saturday Morning Serial. Do you know it?
At MattyPRadio.com.
That's right.
All right.
So, yeah, just, I don't know, send us your, how about this? I want to know what the first VHS movie you saw.
Ooh.
Because mine was Full Metal Jacket, to my memory. Vincent D'Onofrio. What was yours?
VHS, Star Wars.
Star Wars on VHS?
That absolutely, was yeah. You? My folks had bootleg. I was watching Star Wars as you? A kid, son.
Well, as I mentioned before, I believe it was called Full Penile Jacket.
Really? That was
it was
real?
An unfortunate misread.
Well, how about this? How about what was your first movie, like a legitimate movie on VHS?
Oh, that was Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Clip. Again, a very unfortunate mix-up in a downtown movie theater.
Clits don't exist, you stupid.
Are we also giving away... Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yes. And so, yeah, I actually have this, and I was halfway joking. This is a Blu-ray, DVD, digital HD combo, and now...
You better hurry up. You better hurry up before...
we already did this one.
Marky steals yeah, half so, of the DVD Blu-ray. So.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you guys... just, you know, send us some emails.
Subject, we're giving away, those aren't pillows.
We're giving away two copies of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and we're giving away three copies of Drawn Together. So, yeah, just send us. I want to know what your first VHS a movie was.
And I say if you want the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, you have to explain to us why it was rated R. There's got to be like a naked breast scene.
There's not even cursing.
At a truck stop.
Is there even
that I'm
cursing
forgetting.
In this?
There's no tits.
So, yeah, somebody write in and tell us why it was rated R.
Yes.
That's what I would like to get out of this, and I'll give you this Blu-ray.
And we'll read it live on the next podcast.
Not we're just,
live.
All right, we'll so if you guys would like this.
Maybe.
So if you guys would like this
probably
opened and viewed once Blu-ray.
he's joking and it's still sealed, and I will put it in a pillow somewhere to make sure that it stays unharassed.
It's just amazing that it's been 30 years. So this thing is awesome. Catch Ghost Wars.
Oh, he got it.
Comedy Central.
Nice, buddy.
On Comedy Central on Wednesday.
No. Oh, for God's sake.
No, Comedy Central is... Wait, what's Comedy Central?
Drawn Together.
We've been wondering for years, actually.
So Ghost Wars is on the Sci-Fi Channel right now. We don't know what day or time because we haven't done too much of it.
And
we all
watch
sci-fi.
It on the app anyway.
You don't watch it live anyway, so shut up. Also, follow Stay Classy.
SDCC. The website is actually, we're expecting a brand new, so fresh and so clean version of the Matty P Radio website.
Yes.
And so you guys keep your eyes and ears open for that.
MattyPRadio.com.
Still also, open during construction.
Yes.
Follow your boy at Johnny Heck.
Grimshay
on Twitter.
Doesn't really care, so forget him.
Grimshay is watching you on the internet. Don't worry about him.
Have you heard of the dark web? He's the darkest of them all.
So thank you guys all. Thanks for doing this. I'm glad we could all be in the same room again. We had a lot to talk about when there was nothing, and now we have this amazing program.
Yeah.
We love you all. Thank you so much. Let us know. Let us know on Twitter, at Johnny Hack, at Stay Classy SDCC, Dark Web, Grimshay.
Yeah.
He'll find you.
I mean, would you do anything for
If you want to contact
listener?
Us, I'll contact you.
I want to know, would you maintain a Twitter feed for our listeners?
Well, if you give me a controlled list of which listeners, yes.
The answer is I won't do that. But go on.
I would do anything for promos, Marky, but I won't do that.
Excellent. All right. Take care, everybody.
See ya.
That's enough of this.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Oh, this is enough of this.